We greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. It has been good to be here with you all this morning already. Thankful for the words that we've already heard. One thing I have desired that I will seek after. There's many things in life we can be running after, but one thing I have desired. And we could broaden that and ask, well, what are some of those? What does that look like? And maybe we'll share on one aspect of that today, of what is that we desire to. That desire, what does that look like? And also thankful for the children's lessons. We're all here this morning because of choices that we've made. We're all on a journey. And our choices have a tremendous effect on our lives. And so I was thankful for the children's lesson as well. We know of many people that, those of us that have been walking with the Lord for some time, we know of many people that have come and they've went because of choices. And may God help us to make good choices in life. So I was tremendously blessed. Maybe we could rise for a word of prayer before I begin here. Our Father, we just sung a very beautiful prayer of desiring you to be here in our midst and ministering life to us. And that is our heart's desire, Father. Lord, unless you come and minister to us by your Spirit, Father, this book is dead to us. It's been, in years past, it was dead to me. I read it. It didn't mean anything to me. But Lord, when you breathe life into it, you breathe life into our soul, it becomes life and it brings forth fruit that is an everlasting fruit. And Father, we desire for you to do that again this morning. I pray that we would look past the speaker here this morning, that we would see Christ. We want you to be ministering to our life here this morning. So Father, just be here with us. I pray that you'd calm my own heart and bring thoughts, take away thoughts, whatever you want here this morning. We want to be faithful. So may your name be exalted here. May you be glorified and honored. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So we do also bring greetings from Bern, the church at Bern. They would want me to do that. And for those of you that don't know me, gave my name, but I'm Andy, and here with my wife Irma, and we have 7 of our 9 children here with us. Our 2 oldest are married, and we also, our daughter has a special friend that is here with us as well. And so we have 9 children, 2 are married, and we have 1 granddaughter. And I've been pondering, thinking back. I don't know actually the day that I got born again, but it was in 02, so it's 22 years ago here in November sometime. I was ignorant enough that I didn't know what happened to me when it happened. So here in November sometime, through this time 22 years ago, God got a hold of my life and changed it. And so as we think of the children's lesson, this is, you see, 22 years of choices that we've made. And not all were good. Not all were good, but many, we trust that we will continue to make good choices. And sometimes we make choices that affect us. We think that it only has to do with the day, but they don't. They're far-reaching. No, I think of, I think Elson mentioned about the fall of men. That choice that Adam and Eve made has affected every soul that has ever lived on the face of the earth. And our choices have an effect too. So yeah, this morning, we pray and we seek God and we ask, at least it's common among Christians that we want to be more like Christ. We want to be more like Him. And so one of the questions I have this morning, that's a little bit what I want to share on, is one avenue that we can be more like Christ. How does that happen? When we pray that, you know, I want to be more like Jesus, what does that look like in our life? What does that look like? So there's several ways. I'll share a couple ways before I actually share the one that I want to share on this morning. But in John 1, it tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So if the Word is God, what is one way that we can become more like Him? Read His Word, study His Word. It has an effect in our life, a positive effect. Trials. If everything would always go easy in life, how would we, what kind of Christians would we be? So God takes us through hard times in life, and we feel His chastening, and He does it because He loves us. And if we respond correctly to that, it makes us more like Him. It makes us more like Him. And then also renewing, you know, sometimes we think that it's just something that God does in us. But God is asking us to cooperate with what He wants to do. And He asks us to do things. He says about renewing our mind. So obviously, it is giving us something to do. He's not saying that I'm going to renew your mind, but He's asking us to renew our mind. And it's a way that we become more like Christ. We have to choose to not think of those things that will take us in wrong places, but choose to think of heavenly things, to choose to think on the Word of God, to choose on, yeah, renewing our mind. You know, we have an old way of thinking that we all have, and God wants to change that, but we need to cooperate with Him. But this morning, the one that we want to look at is abiding. Abiding. Christ, so the title that I have this morning is Christ Formed in Us Through Abiding. Christ formed in us through abiding. And so for a scripture reading, I'd like to turn to John 15, and we'll read the first 17 verses. John 15, starting in verse 1. And it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And so here we have, we're not going to look so much this morning on the fruit that we see in here, but the abiding part of it. Now, if we take an apple tree, or we take an apple that we see on a tree, and it's not mature, I mean, it's just a small little apple. It's still an apple, is it not? It's still an apple in that stage, and it's perfect in its stage that it's in, and it brings glory to God. And the reason that it's an apple, the reason that it got as big as it did, is it was connected to an apple tree. It was connected. It was connected to the vine. It was connected to a vine. This apple brings glory to God, because that's what it was created to do. And it keeps on growing and maturing as it is attached to the vine. And that's how it is with us. We bring glory to God when we stay attached to the vine. We bring glory to God when we stay attached to the vine. So we can compare ourselves with a natural fruit tree. It don't always line completely up, you know, as we think of our spiritual lives, but there's a lot of lessons that we can learn. You know, after a windstorm or a heavy rain or something, if you walk through an orchard, you'll see apples that have fallen to the ground. That apple's done. I mean, you can go eat it. You can take it, maybe take the seeds out of it and plant it. But as far as that apple, it's never going to get any bigger. It's never going to, it is done. It has fallen. It is disconnected from the vine. You and I, God has much mercy on. If we have fallen, we can be reconnected to the vine. We can be reconnected to the vine, and we can be very thankful for that. But we need to be very careful. We don't want to just give excuses for failure. But sadly, in God's orchard, many times that's how it is. There's hard things that happen to us, and men fall. And there they lay. And they don't never get back up. That's sad. That's a sad situation. But it happens. But unlike the apple, when it falls, it has no chance of ever abiding again. We do. We have that chance. So I have 4 points that I'd like to make here about abiding. And the first one is, there is no fruit if we don't abide. There's no fruit if we don't abide. And that fruit, as we shared earlier, is the what we want to look at is Christ-likeness in our hearts. Christ-likeness. Christ being formed in us through abiding. So that is the fruit that will come from this, from abiding. In verse 4, we see that if we are not, I'll read it again. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. So we see here that we know how it is. If we have a branch in an orchard tree, in an apple tree in the orchard, and it's fallen to the ground, that branch will never, ever produce fruit. It is gone. The only thing that it can possibly be good for is heating a home with firewood or something of that sort. It is not good for anything. And no more are we good for anything that has eternal value if we are not connected to the vine, Jesus Christ. We have to be connected. We have to be abiding. And you know, it can be a little confusing. Does that mean that there's nothing good in any person that's not converted and the heathen in this world, does that mean that there's no good in any of them? Well, there's no lasting fruit in their life. There's not in their life what it's going to take for them to spend eternity with God. There's a lot of people that can do a lot of good, but when they stand before God, then what? Then what? So we're talking about bringing fruit, a fruit that bears, that is coming up into our lives, Christ-likeness in our hearts, that has lasting fruit, that has that is eternal. It's not just for today or tomorrow or whenever. God wants glory from our lives. Verse 5 strengthens that when it says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bring forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And we realize that when we're not converted, there's a lot of things we did. But none of it has value in eternity with God. So eternal fruit cannot be produced in any other way than if we stay abiding in Christ. For without me, ye can do nothing. There's no good fruit that comes from us unless we are vitally connected to the vine. So it's very important that we abide in Christ. It is a must if we want to spend eternity with him. We will never be like Christ if we are not attached. Second point I want to make is out of verse 7. And it says, the point is, ask what ye will. Some of these points I'll spend more time with than others. Ask what ye will. Verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. These are amazing words that Jesus gave to us, that you can ask what you want, what you will, and I'm going to give it to you. Now, is that true? Have you asked things that you have not got? I think we've probably all done that. And the reason is, I think there's two reasons. One of two reasons, and it's one reason can be God wants us to be like the persistent widow, where we keep coming back and asking, and seeing how serious that we really are. Secondly, there's an if in the first part of verse 7 that says, if ye abide in me, and if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. So the word, the if there is, if we are abiding in Christ, God will not fail us. God will not fail us in that way. If we don't take heed to the if, then everything else is invalid in that verse as well. If we abide in Christ, the word it means to stay in Christ. When it is telling us to abide, it also indicating that we walk. Sorry. So it's indicating that we can walk away as well. We're not like the apple where it's 100% dependent upon God. Even though we are 100% dependent upon God, we have a choice to make, like we heard in the children's lesson. We have choices that can disconnect us from that vine. God himself will not disconnect us, but we can choose to be disconnected. God has given us everything that we need. The other thing that if applies, the if has in it is, we will not ask anything that will hinder the abiding. So if I ask for something that is hindering my abiding in Christ, God is not going to answer that prayer. Because he wants us to be abiding in him. So that if also hinges on us asking rightly. You know, if sometimes we don't know our own heart. If we would get everything that we would ask for, we would destroy ourselves probably. But God knows what we want or what we need. And so the things that, the want part there, if we ask those things that strengthens that abiding, God will answer it. That's a promise. He will. Now, if it hinders that, there's a good chance he will not. It's been a while ago that I was reading through John 4. And there's something that really stuck out to me. Reading from verses 10 to 15. It's where Jesus is at the well there. And the woman comes to the well. And Jesus asked for a drink of water. I don't know that he ever got it. And then here in verse 10 starts, goes on from that conversation. And it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, and from whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And the thing that challenged me was the words that Jesus said there. If I can find it. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And the question came to my heart is, so why do I thirst after other things? Why do I at times want to drink from something else? And it's simply because I'm not drinking from the well of Christ. You know, when my flesh wants to look elsewhere, I'm not drinking from the well of Christ. Christ, I will not thirst for any other thing than holiness and righteousness if I'm drinking of the well of Christ. That is what will come from that well. And so I was challenged by, as we think of abiding, I was challenged, you know, this well thing is connected right with it. Which well are we drinking from? Which well are we drinking from? Why do I still drink for other things? The answer is simple according to Jesus' words. If I drink out of Christ's well, I won't, but if I draw from the other one, I will. Thinking of the apple again, the apple on the tree, I usually choose the apple I grew up with where we had a little orchard of about 12 trees. They were, back then, they were the standard trees, they were big trees. And so I understand the apple better than some of the other fruit. The apple can't help what it does. God has put it there, and it will continue there until God removes it or someone picks the apple to enjoy it. But unlike that apple, we have eyes. We look around, we see things that we desire. We have ears, we hear things, and we want to enjoy fleshly. Somehow we like to enjoy things. So we have eyes and things. The apple doesn't have that. The apple is there, and it's just an apple. It just will always be an apple. And that is a beautiful thing for us to think about in abiding, is just for us to remain there, just to be there. But we have eyes and ears. We have choices to make. We have two wells to draw from, except we don't have buckets to to let down and draw, it's like we have a valve that we open and close. The apple has one source of life, and that is from that tree that it is connected to. He's receiving what is going to make it an apple. I forgot of bringing different fruit, a banana and a pear or apple. And if I had hold up a banana here, where do you think that banana grew on? What do you think? Where do you think it grew on? You think it grew on the same tree as the apple? The children even understand that, don't they? It grew, it was produced, the tree that it grew on produced nothing but bananas. The pear tree is the same way. A pear tree doesn't have pears and apples and bananas. It has pears. And if we're connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, what will it produce? Good fruit. It cannot bear bad fruit. It cannot do anything else but bear good fruit. It will produce his life in us if we allow it. Just like that apple, you know, it started as a little bitty bud. And there's never a question in anyone's mind that it's not going to be an apple. It's going to be an apple. And if we stay connected to the vine of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's going to be holiness, righteousness, Christ-likeness coming from our lives. It cannot be anything else. It's a beautiful thing. We will be the same if we drink of the well of Jesus Christ. But our eyes look around and at times we see what everyone else is doing. They're Christians. They can do that. And we let our guards down. And we don't turn off the valve that produces spiritual life. But what happens is we turn on the valve of the world and don't realize that they're connected. You cannot turn on a valve and get a little fleshly pleasure and have the valve of the spiritual well. You can't have both of them turn on at the same time because it is impossible for them to mix. So as we turn one on, the other one automatically goes off. They do not mix. They do not mix. You know, the apple is always an apple. It's always going to be an apple. The reason is because it only gets that good nutrients that's going to bring an apple. But we are in control. God allows us to be in control of what we want, to see if we will obey him or not. We cannot have the best of both worlds. You know, it will cause death in our lives if we drink of the well, the fleshly well. The apple doesn't pretend. Sometimes we do. We think that we can be getting the best of both worlds, but really, we're spiritually dying. Is there something in our life, in my life, that I wish that it wasn't there? He also talked about habits. Is there bad habits that I have? Where do them come from? Out of the well of Jesus Christ will only come good habits, right? Where do they come from? Which valve? You know, there's none of us that would turn on the valve if we knew that there was 100% poison in it. And so we think that we can still do something and get the benefits of a Christian. And Satan is tremendously smart. He's been at his business for a long time. And so he doesn't give us, as we turn on the valve, let's say of the fleshly valve, the valve of this world, if we turn that on, it may look like it's 99% good. But the fact is it has some poison in it. And it's going to take us downhill. And it depends on what it is and how fast we go downhill. But that's how Satan works. He's not going to just show us that if it was 100% poison, there's none of us in here that would drink it. But if it's diluted only by 1%, it looks ever so good. And at times we think we're okay doing so. And we're not. We're not. It will destroy us. It will destroy us. We need to be abiding. Abiding means that we will never drink from anywhere but Jesus Christ. There's nothing about abiding that indicates that we can ever do anything else but keep abiding. We all say we don't. Yeah. Back to verse 7. Ask what you will. God hears us. God cannot lie. If we're abiding, this will be a reality in our lives. But many times we can be wanting God to hear us and answer our prayer, and it seems there is no answer. And like I said, I think that it's one of two things. It's either he's wanting us to be that persistent widow that we keep knocking, or then we're not abiding to that if. If ye abide in me. If, what does it say? If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. So it's one, I feel like it's one of the two things that is happening. Can I be abiding in Christ and listening to ungodly music or fleshly music only 2% of the time? And 98% of the time, good music. Does that work? You know, that's thinking of that valve that has just a little bit of poison in it. Just a little bit. Can I 98% of the time listen to good music and 2% of the time not? Listen to something else. What is the outcome of that going to be? It's not abiding in Christ, is it? It's not. Now, let's think. If you ladies had two plants in your house, and the one you're going to give 100% water, and the other one you're going to mix in 2% Roundup, and you're going to dump it over this plant. Do you think there'd be a difference in the plant? Absolutely, we could see a difference in the plant. But somehow we don't have that same concept when I think I can please my flesh 2% of the time by listening to ungodly music, and the rest of the time, I'm okay. Somehow we don't see that it has that same effect in our lives, but it does. Just like that plant will die with 2% Roundup eventually, we will die spiritually with that 2% ungodly music. We just will. It has that same effect. We can easily see it in the plant, but it's harder to see for ourselves. Abide in Christ all the time. And you know, if we've fallen or if we're seeing our need of it, I don't want you to be discouraged here this morning. There's God wants to reconnect you to the vine. You're not the apple that is done. You're not, that's not who you are. God wants to reconnect you to that vine. He wants your life to bring forth fruit. He's created you to do that, but he's given you the choice to see if you will obey or not. Same as with me, I say you, but it's as much me as it is anyone. 1 John chapter 2, the first two verses, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. If any man sin, in other words, if we have been disconnected, we're not abiding, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have a beautiful promise that God has made a way for us to be abiding in him again. Third point is, if we say we abide, we're obligated to walk that way. And we'll keep on reading from 1 John 2 there. We'll start in verse 3 and we'll go through to verse 6. If we say we abide, we're obligated to walk that way. It says, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. If he that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And in verse 6 is where I got that. So the word ought there means we're obligated. We're obligated to do so. It's not just you should, but we're actually obligated. If I say that I'm abiding in Jesus Christ, I'm obligated to walk even as Christ walked. It's not, maybe, sometime, but I'm actually obligated to do so. If I'm saying I'm abiding in him, I need to walk even as he walked. If you look up the word ought, it's a fairly strong word. It means to owe, be in debt, be bound by oath, be obligated, ought, must. These are some very strong words. We will never abide half-heartedly. It takes hard choices, and it costs us everything. How important is it to us that Jesus Christ is formed in here? We sing a song, or a hymn, and I don't know which one it is offhand, but it says something of the fact that if, I'm going to mess it up, about Christ, I need to leave it because I'm going to chop it up. There's somebody here that might know what I'm talking about, but it's, if I would be abiding, it's not using the word abiding, I would, the way that Jesus walked would be walked here on earth again. I don't remember the, half-heartedly will never do. How does it look if we're abiding in Christ? And it, in verses 3 to 5 there, it gives us some, hereby do we know him, we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. That's one part of abiding, is keeping his commandments. We will keep his commandments if we are abiding. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, and hereby know we that we are in him. That's how we know that we can be, that it's one of the ways that we are abiding, what it's doing in our lives. Abiding is not choosing what I will or will not do. Abiding is simply selling ourselves to the Father and never expecting anything back in return. And we know there's blessings that come from that. But that is not why we do it. We give ourselves, surrender ourselves completely to Christ with no strings attached, right? Abiding. Keeping means to keep, to guard, obey, observe. That's what it means to keep. None of us will just outrightly disregard one of God's commandments. But there's times where we like to see if there's another way around it. And maybe I'm the only one. We don't just outrightly disregard one of God's commandments, but at times we see if there's another way around it. God wants us to just be abiding in him. We want Christ to be formed in us, right? We want Christ's life to reflect out of our lives. And that is what will happen if we are abiding. If we are abiding, just like that apple, will never be anything else but an apple under the apple tree. If I'm connected to the vine of Jesus Christ, Christ's likeness is what will come out of my life. And so we want Christ to be formed in us. And if we're connected to that vine, out of our bellies, like Jesus said, will come rivers of living water. We will be refreshing waters for other hurting and thirsty souls, right? So Jesus, that is what will happen. If we're connected, God uses us to bless others with. Out of our bosom will come wells of living water springing up. Verse 4 of He that saith, I know him and keep not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. It's a very real thing. Abiding is very, very, yeah. Our lives will show whether we're connected or not by our friend, how we choose our friends, by the way we do things. Verse 6 is a challenge to me there in 1 John 2. It says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked, even as Christ walked. And so I think of these things in the last month. You and I, everywhere we went, would we be willing to take Christ there, even as he walked, abiding in him, even as he walked? Everywhere that I went in this last month, you and I, would we be willing to take Jesus there with us? Why or why not? Even as he walked. What all I did, would he do? What all would he do different than what I did? What all would look different? We're talking about Christ's life being formed in us. Is my life reflecting his life? The things that I do would be the things that he would do and be doing if he was here, even as he walked. Is that standard too high? If we lower it in any way, shape, or form, I'm afraid we will completely miss it. Are we ashamed of what we did in the last month? We say that Jesus lives in here, but would we be willing to take him in person everywhere that we went? Would I listen to the same music that I listened to? Would I say the same words that I said? Would I try to impress him? Would I look at everything on the internet that I looked at the last month? Or other places as well? Would I choose my same friends if he was personally with me? Even as he walked. You know, Christ, abiding in Christ is more than Sunday morning services. It's more than Sunday morning services. If we think of a week, there's 168 hours in a week. And say that I don't know how long you all are here together. And say you get here at 9 o'clock and you leave at 2, that's being here 5 hours. Is that your time with Christ? Is there, what else do we do in a week's time that would reflect that? Maybe you read your Bible for 15 minutes a day and you pray for 15 minutes a day. Now that's not very much, but it's a little bit. I don't know where we're at. That's another 3.5 hours in a week. That's only 8.5 hours. What are we doing the rest of the time? If we think of a week, 168 hours, what really do I do with them 168 hours? You know, we think of sleeping. We sleep a lot. But you know, if my mind is filled up with all kind of other things, as I lay my head on the pillow at night, am I abiding in Christ? Now, if I lay in my bed and I'm thinking and meditating upon the Lord, and as I fall asleep, I believe I abide right on through the night. There's no disconnection. I wake up in the morning, and usually we leave off right where we start right where we left off, right? Many times that's how it works. If I'm meditating upon God and His Word, it's abiding the whole time. But if I'm thinking of whatever else, and we have other burdens, I understand. But if I'm not connected during the day, I'm not going to be connected just falling asleep at night. So how really are we doing in this area of abiding in Christ? It's a challenge to my own heart. Abiding is staying. You know, can an apple be a thorn through the day and become an apple at night again? We understand that. But somehow, when it's me, I don't see it quite the same. An apple will always be an apple because it is attached to the vine. It is attached to the apple tree. And if I am abiding, which means staying on the vine, only godliness and holiness and righteousness will flow from our lives. That's what we'll produce out of there. It cannot produce anything else. Now, I know we live in the flesh and we do things that we probably shouldn't do. I understand that. But that should not be the norm in our lives. That should not be the norm. First John 1, verse 7, it says, "But if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." And walking in the light has a lot to do with abiding as well. You know, we have some sayings that what you see is what you get, or you're buying it as it is. We have some of those sayings. In other words, we're not hiding anything. It's just here. Take it. It's the way it is. How is it with our life? Do we have a secret life that is doesn't match up? We will not. We cannot abide in that way. Christ will not be formed in here if I have a life that is secret that I'm hiding things in. As it says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have that fellowship, we have that connection, we have that abiding that is happening. If we're not hiding anything, we can be abiding. It's a beautiful thing. We will never prosper spiritually with a secret life. We aren't abiding in Him with a secret life. Christ formed in us happens through abiding. Psalms 85, verse 13, it says, "Righteousness shall go before Him, shall set us in the way of His steps." In other words, if we live rightly, He shall set us in the way of His steps. If we live rightly, God will set us in His steps. That's very beautiful, talking about even as He walked. John 13. I want to read a few verses there as we think of even as He walked, or doing what He did. John 13, 13 to 16, 4 verses. "You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought, you're obligated to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do even as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him." So Jesus, it's talking about feet washing here. But this is not just, I believe, for when we have communion service where we wash each other's feet. This is a day-to-day life where we wash one another, where we take care of one another, where we look out for one another. And Jesus has said, what did he say here? That ye should do as I have done unto you. As you think of his disciples, what all did Jesus do for his disciples? Did he ever do anything that wasn't profitable or upbuilding? Never. Do you, and he's asking us to do the same thing, one for another, even as he walked, abiding in him, abiding in him. We could read Matthew 11, there he talks about take my yoke upon you and learn from him, but we'll leave that. I have 1 Peter 1 verse, 1 Peter 2 verse 21, it says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. Many Christians don't go all the way or don't want to press in because it hurts. We're too vulnerable. You know, in a brotherhood that really works together, we're very vulnerable, aren't we, one to another? And we hurt one another, not on purpose, but we do. And it's talking about suffering. He's talking here about physical suffering, but thinking of suffering one for another, he's given us an example that we should do that, one for another. Even as he walked, abiding in him. Can we be like him without being like him? Can I keep my old friends and still be like him? So the last point I have is, whoso abideth in him sinneth not. Whoso abideth in him sinneth not. 1 John 3 verse 6. I'm still in Peter. 1 John 3, verse 6. Whoso abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. This verse has a way of cutting right into the heart. You know, again, thinking of the apple, can that apple ever do anything wrong if he continues to abide as the apple on that tree? He will only continue to mature, get better, bigger, and riper. And that's the same it is with us. We know that's how it'll be with us. What about if we are abiding in him? Can we sin? Can we sin? And we do fall. We do fall short. This can be a sticky subject. We can fall short of God's glory, but we cannot stay there. We may not stay there. Abiding in him. I don't want to give anyone a license to sin in any way, shape, or form. God says that if we're abiding in him, we will not sin. We will not sin. Talking mainly about knowing sin. You know, knowingly sinning. Sinneth there means to miss the mark, to do wrong, to do the act, to do any act contrary to the will of God. It's a fairly high standard. But again, we may not lower it. Sinneth not. How are we doing? Are we abiding in Christ? Are we more like him today than we were a month ago? How are we doing? Is Christ being formed in here? Are we more like him than we were a month ago or a year ago? How are we doing? You know, it's an important thing. You know, eternity's at stake for all of us. And I don't doubt any one of you here. I trust you're all doing well. But we have to be reminded again of the high calling that we have in Christ Jesus to live a holy life. Abiding in him. Christ being formed in here. Do we just try harder We just try harder if that's not happening. Again, what does the apple do? You see him up there really trying to just be an apple? No, he's just an apple. We know what is right to do most of the time. And if we do what we know is the right thing to do, God will bless that. God will honor that. God will, it's abiding in him. If we do what we know is the right thing to do. And there's times we are not sure what we should do. But if we do what we know is right to do, we will not go wrong that way. We have to crucify the flesh and seek Christ diligently, and we will prosper. God is not making it hard for us. And I don't think the church is making it hard for us. But somehow, I make it hard for myself. I can make it hard for myself. As a whole, our parents don't make it hard for us. But we make it hard for ourselves. We fight instead of dying to self. God is for us, not against us. God is for us, not against us. So, in closing, I have a few scriptures that I would, that my desire is for all of us. 1 Peter 2, verses 9 and 10. It's my heart in sharing what I did here this morning is this. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. It's my heart for you, all mankind, okay? That's my desire, is that we would all be that peculiar people, that the chosen generation, the royal priesthood, a holy nation. That is my desire for all of our lives. And I just want to encourage you to keep abiding. Keep abiding in him. Ephesians 5, verse 27 is another one. I have a few different verses here. Try to not make it long. And it says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Again, that's my heart's desire for all of us, that Jesus Christ is coming for such a church. That is how the bride will look. And if we feel that we're not part, or we're not, that is not our life, we want our life to become that. And so it's my desire that we would seek diligently for such a life. Abide in him. Abide in him. And we'll need each other. We'll need each other. Christ is our only hope that we might be the only Bible that someone will ever read. One more scripture in 1 John 2, verses 14 and 15, or 14 to 16. It says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning, and I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It is not of the Father, but it is of the world. I just want to encourage you that a lot of us fathers here, thinking of you young people, a lot of us fathers have tasted what is out there. And it is not worth going after. There's nothing out there that will satisfy you. There's nothing out there that will ever bring you peace in your life. There's nothing out there. So I want to encourage you to choose to abide in Jesus Christ and be that holy nation, that royal priesthood. May God have his way in all of our lives together. Abide in him. Abide in his word. And the reason for that is so that Jesus Christ can be formed in here. So that he can have his way in my life. So that my life reflects better what Christ would be doing on earth if he was here. So may God bless you all.